felt that at least for that little moment they had a foothold.
The coaches and horses seemed covered with sugar frosting, and the footmen stood with their backs to the carriages to protect their faces from the wind. The pedestrians kept in the shelter of the carriages, which could move only slowly through the deep snow. When the storm at last ceased, and a narrow path had been cleared near the houses, the people as they met would stand still in this path, for neither wanted to take the first step into the deep snow to let the other pass. So they would stand motionless, until by silent consent each would sacrifice one leg and, stepping inside, bury it in the snowdrift. By evening it had grown calm. The sky looked as if it had been swept and had become very lofty and transparent. The stars seemed quite new, and some of them were wonderfully blue and bright. It was freezing so hard that the snow creaked, and the upper crust of it was strong enough by morning to support the sparrows. These little birds were hopping up and down where the paths had been cleared, but they found very little to eat and were shivering with cold.
"Peep," said one to another. "They call this the new year, but it's much worse than the old one. We might just as well have kept the other year. I am completely dissatisfied, and I have a right to be, too."
"Yes," agreed a little shivering sparrow. "The people ran about firing off shots to celebrate the new year, and they banged pans and pots against the doors and were quite noisy with joy because the old year was over. I was glad, too, because I thought that meant we would have warm days. But nothing like that has happened yet. Everything is frozen much harder than before. People must have made a mistake in figuring their time."
"They certainly have,"
a third added, an old sparrow with a white topknot.
"They have a thing they call a calendar, something they invented themselves, and everything has to be arranged according to that. But it doesn't work. The year really begins when the spring comes. That's the way of nature, and that's the way I reckon it."
"But when will spring come?"
The others wailed.
"It will come when the stork comes back. But his plans are very uncertain. Here in town, they don't know anything about them. People out in the country are better informed. Let's fly out there and wait. At least we'll be that much closer to spring."
Now, one of the sparrows who had been hopping about for a long time, chirping without saying anything very important, spoke up.
"That's all very well, but I've found some comforts here in town that I'm afraid I'd miss in the country. In a courtyard quite near here, a family of people have had the very sensible idea of placing 3 or 4 flower pots against the wall, with their open ends all turned inward and bottoms pointing out. In each pot they've cut a hole big enough for me to fly in and out. My husband and I have built a nest in one of these pots, and we've raised all our young ones there." "Of course, the people just did it to have the fun of watching us. Otherwise, they surely wouldn't have done it. And to please themselves further, they put out crumbs of bread. That gives us food, and thus we are provided for. So I think my husband and I will stay here, though we're very dissatisfied, mind you."
"Yes, I guess we'll stay."
"But we'll fly out into the country to see if spring isn't coming," cried the others, and away they flew.
Now in the country, the winter was still a little harder, and the temperature a few degrees lower than in town. Sharp winds swept across snow-covered fields. The farmer, his hands muffled in warm mittens, sat in his sleigh with his whip on his knees and beat his arms across his chest to keep himself warm. The lean horses ran until steamy smoke seemed to rise from them. The snow creaked with the cold, and the sparrows hopped around in the ruts and shivered.
"Peep! When will spring come? It's taking a very long time about it."
"Very long," sounded a deep voice from the highest snow-covered hill far across the field. Perhaps it was an echo, or perhaps the words had been spoken by a strange old man who was sitting, in spite of wind and weather, on top of a high drift of snow. He was all white, with long hair, a pale face, and big clear eyes, dressed like a peasant in a coarse white coat of frieze.
"Who is that old fellow over there?"
demanded the sparrows. "I know who he is," said an old raven sitting on a fence rail. Now this raven was wise enough to know that we are all like little birds in the sight of the Lord, so he wasn't above speaking to the sparrows and answering their question. "Yes, I know who the old man is. He's Winter, the old man of last year. He isn't dead as the calendar says. No, he is guardian to little Prince Spring, who is coming. Yes, Winter rules here now.
Ugh! The cold makes you shiver, doesn't it, you small creatures?"
"Yes," replied the smallest sparrow. "Didn't I tell you? The cow..."